I used to love Snapchat. The streaks, the filters, the late-night gossip and vanish mode with Ruby and Jace. It felt safe, like a secret diary no one could read. But that was before the messages started, before Fiona vanished, before I realized that someone had been watching us through our own screens. The first message came at 9:34 p.m., just as I was walking home from Ruby's. A snap from an unknown sender.
See you in 10.
Weird. The photo was blurry, just an outline of someone walking alone. Then I looked closer. My stomach dropped. It was me. I stopped mid-step, my breath hitching. The sidewalk was empty, the streetlights buzzing faintly. Heart pounding, I spun around. Nothing. Just the cold night air pressing against my skin. I hurried home, locked the door, and texted Ruby and Jace.
Tell me this is you messing with me. Huh?
Bro, that's creepy AF. Block him. So I did. But blocking didn't stop the second snap. 10:02 p.m. A live video. My bedroom window. From the outside. My hands shook as I crept to the window, peeking through the blinds. Darkness. No movement. But I swore I could feel something. Someone out there, staring back. I slammed the curtain shut, locked the window, and buried myself under the covers. By morning, I had almost convinced myself it was just a sick prank, until Ruby got the same message. Then Jace. But when they tried to reply, the account had disappeared. The next day, Fiona Miller went missing. She was last seen leaving cheer practice. Her final snap?
Someone's following me!
But no one took it seriously. The police said she ran away. That night, I checked her snap map. Her Bitmoji flickered near an abandoned house on the edge of town. Then it vanished. I didn't sleep. I couldn't. If this was connected, we had to do something. Jace and I dug through Fiona's messages, searching for clues. Her chat history was empty, wiped clean, like ours. But then Jace found something, a common thread. Every victim had used vanish mode to talk to an unknown user before disappearing. No saved messages, no evidence, just gone. We're dealing with someone who knows exactly how to erase their tracks. Jace murmured, this isn't random. I had a plan, a reckless, stupid, probably going to get myself killed plan. I unblocked CUN10 and sent a message.
Who are you?
The reply came instantly. A snap. I opened it, my breath catching. It was my house. A live video. My location pinged in the corner of the screen. I had just given them my exact address. Jace grabbed my wrist. Kylie, we need to go. Now. We jumped into his car and sped towards the last place Fiona's Bitmoji had been seen. The abandoned house loomed before us, its windows like hollow eyes. We stepped inside, our footsteps echoing against the rotten floorboards. The stench of mildew and something metallic filled the air. In the corner of the room, a table was lined with burner phones, their screens glowing faintly. I felt sick. Each phone was logged into a different hacked Snapchat account. Live maps, chat histories, photos. The stalker had been watching us through our own devices. Jace grabbed my hand. We have to get out of here. A notification pinged from my phone. I glanced down, my blood turning to ice. A new snap from CUN10. Turn around. Jace and I spun, but it was too late. The door slammed shut. The air shifted. A presence. Someone in the shadows. A figure moved forward. A hoodie, dark jeans, a phone raised, watching us, recording us.
Who the hell are you?
My voice cracked, no response. The figure stepped closer. I fumbled with my phone, fingers shaking. If we didn't make it out, someone had to know what happened. I switched on live location and started a locked story, one that would auto-upload if I didn't check in. Jace lunged, shoving the figure back.
Run!
I sprinted down the hall, the floor creaking, my breath coming in ragged gasps. The stalker's footsteps pounded behind us. A door at the end of the hall, locked. A hand closed around my wrist, yanking me back. I screamed, Jace tackled them, knocking the phone from their grip. The screen shattered, casting jagged light across their face. Recognition hit me like a sledgehammer. Not some faceless predator, Tyler Briggs, high school dropout, tech genius. The guy who always lurked online, watching but never speaking. His lip curled into a smile.
You all trusted vanish mode so much, didn't you?
My stomach churned.
You were stalking us for fun?
His gaze was cold.
It was an experiment. How easily can people disappear when they think they're safe?
The distant wail of sirens cut through the air. My locked story had gone live. Tyler's expression faltered. He bolted for the back door, but Jace tripped him. He hit the floor with a grunt, just as flashing red and blue lights filled the windows. The cops burst in, guns raised.
Hands! Show me your hands!
It was over. Fiona was found, barely breathing but alive. The town reeled. Parents freaked. Snapchat cracked down on security. But me? I deleted the app, for good. Because some ghosts don't haunt old houses. They haunt your screen, and they're always watching. I have this weird hobby. I like taking Snapchats in creepy places. It started as a joke, just something to freak out my followers. Most of the time, it's just shadows or weird lighting, but sometimes, things don't add up. Tonight is one of those nights. I heard about it during lunch. A bunch of kids whispering about the old pet cemetery in Blackwood Hollow, about the cat lady. Decades ago, she lived alone, obsessed with her cats. When she died, she was buried with them. And now, they say she haunts the place, looking for new souls to take. People claim they hear meowing when there's no cat around, see glowing eyes watching them from the trees. It's too good to pass up. I drag Harper and Jake out with me. Harper protests the whole way, muttering about bad vibes, while Jake rolls his eyes, calling it all grade A horror movie stupidity. But I see the way Jake keeps glancing at Harper when he thinks I'm not looking, and the way Harper's voice shakes when she talks about Blackwood Hollow, like she knows more than she's saying. We reach the cemetery just after sundown. It's smaller than I expected. Rows of tiny headstones, some crumbling, others marked with little paw prints. The wind carries the faint smell of damp earth and something else, something stale, like dust and decay. Then I see it, a massive tombstone at the center, one word carved into the stone, Holloway. A shiver crawls down my spine, and I pull out my phone. Snap, nothing. Snap again, still nothing. I switch to night mode. The snap takes longer to load. The screen lags. Then, a notification pops up. Meow. Look behind you. My stomach twists. I didn't type that. My breath turns shallow.
Guys, I didn't write this.
Harper snatches my phone, her hands trembling. Jake's face pales.
This is a joke, right?
Before I can respond, a low, guttural meow echoes through the graveyard, then another, and another. Glowing eyes blink from the shadows, dozens of them. The darkness shifts, slithering like something alive. The sound of scratching, of nails against stone, rises around us. Harper screams. Jake yells.
Run!
We bolt. My heart slams against my ribs as I sprint, my breath sharp and burning. The meows grow louder, almost human-like, turning into warped, distorted cries. The ground feels unsteady, like something is moving beneath us. I don't dare look back. We don't stop running until we crash into my front door, gasping, shaking. Inside, we slam the lock shut, panting in the quiet safety of my room. I pull out my phone with trembling fingers. The last snap is different. It's not the one I took. Instead, it's a grainy black and white photo of a woman. Her skin is sagging, her eyes hollow. She stands in the cemetery, surrounded by cats, their bodies pressed against her legs, staring, watching, and she's smiling. Harper's face drains of color.
I know her.
I whip my head toward her.
What?
She swallows hard.
My grandmother used to tell me stories about her. About a woman named Margot Holloway. People called her the Cat Lady. My grandma said she wasn't just some lonely woman. She practiced something dark. She believed she could steal time, extend her own life, by taking others.
Jake scoffs, but his voice wavers. That's insane.
Then explain the photo.
Harper snaps. I try to delete it. The app won't let me. I don't sleep that night. The next day at school, I can't shake the feeling of being watched. Every shadow in the hall seems darker, every whisper just out of earshot. I need answers. So I go to the library. Mrs. Holloway, the librarian, sits behind the counter, reading. Her silver hair is pulled back tight, her bony fingers turning pages methodically. When I ask about the pet cemetery, she freezes. Slowly, she looks up.
You shouldn't have gone there, dear.
Her voice is soft, almost affectionate. But something about her face, it feels familiar. A chill skates down my spine. Then my phone buzzes. A new snap from an unknown account. I hesitate, then tap to open it. It's the same black and white photo, but this time the old woman's smile is wider, and she's standing closer. My breath stutters. My fingers go numb. I look up at Mrs. Holloway. She's staring at me. Her lips curl up. Just slightly. And then she purrs. My phone slid from my hand. The air in the library turns thick, suffocating. The fluorescent lights buzz, flickering. The shadows stretch toward me, clawing at my feet. I stumble back. Her eyes, they're glowing. I turn and run. I don't stop. Not until I'm outside, gulping the cold air, my hands shaking. Another notification. I don't want to look, but I do. The photo has changed again. The woman is closer still, and this time I'm in the picture too. A cat slinks past my feet, its tail curling around my ankle. I freeze. The meow it lets out isn't natural. It's low, guttural, almost like a laugh. My phone buzzes one last time. 9 lives, Elena. You only have one.
It started out as just another typical Saturday night. I was hanging out at home, bored and looking for something to do. I decided to check Snapchat and see if any of my friends were out. I posted a quick selfie with the cat ears filter and geo filter for my neighborhood turned on, hinting that I was down to meet up. After a little while, I noticed I had a notification from someone I didn't know. The name on the account was just a jumble of numbers. I opened it, expecting it to be spam or some random bot, but it was an actual photo. It looked like it was taken from across the street, right outside my house. I felt a chill go down my spine. Who was this person and how did they know where I lived? I decided not to respond and just ignore it, hoping they'd go away. I switched over to text my friend Jen and see if she wanted to go grab food. She said she was down, so I left the house and started driving over to the diner we liked. When I parked, I shot a quick snap of the glowing neon sign to share where I was. As Jen and I were eating, I got another notification from the random numbers account. My heart sank when I opened it. It was a photo of the exact parking spot I was in, taken from another car nearby. How was this person following me? I tried to hide my fear from Jen as I laughed off as some kind of prank. After dinner, Jen and I walked around the neighborhood to get ice cream from the shop down the block. I took a snap of my chocolate cone, again forgetting to turn off my location. Not even 5 minutes later, I got a notification. My blood turned cold. It was a photo of the exact flavor ice cream cone I had, clearly taken secretly from inside the shop. Jen noticed me starting to freak out and asked what was wrong. I showed her the messages and she agreed it was really creepy. We decided to go back to her place instead of walking around outside anymore. I was really shaken up and just wanted to get somewhere safe. Once we got to Jen's, we locked all the doors and closed the curtains. We tried to just watch movies and relax, but I kept obsessively checking the windows. I knew it was ridiculous, but I had this paranoid sense that I was being watched from outside. A few hours later, I got another message from the stalker account. Hands trembling, I opened it. It was a photo of Jen's house, taken from the street behind her backyard. Whoever this was had somehow followed me here. Jen saw the image and completely freaked out. She said I should call the police. My hands were shaking so bad that I could barely dial 911. I told the operator what was happening and they said they'd send a patrol car to check things out. Jen and I huddled together on the couch, terrified the psycho knew exactly where we were. We kept all lights off, hoping they'd think we left. Soon, I got a notification that made my heart stop. It was a photo of Jen's living room window from the outside, showing the faint outline of us sitting on the couch. The stalker was right outside watching us. A chilling message followed saying they saw me and they were coming for me now. Jen and I leaped up in panic. Suddenly, we heard the patio door handle rattle as someone tried to force their way inside. We screamed and ran to hide in the bathroom, shoving a chair under the doorknob. I heard heavy footsteps come inside the house. The stalker was inside. We could hear them walking around, opening doors, searching for us. We huddled in the tub, sobbing and shaking. Then we heard the sirens approaching. The police. Never had I felt such relief as officers shouted into the house, arresting my stalker. After that terrifying night, I never used Snapchat's location again. I've learned the hard way that you never really know who might be watching. Sometimes stalkers don't stay hidden behind their screens. They find ways to follow you into the real world, too. I'll never feel totally safe sharing my location online after what happened. You really can't trust anyone, even a stranger who just seems like another faceless account. Behind that blank profile, there could be someone watching your every move, just waiting for the chance to find you alone in the dark. That night was the most scared I've ever felt in my life.